Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tippy Talk, TNT in the Night, where we talk about overcoming difficult situations or just handling it better. We go through our daily adventures where we ask the question, what have you done today? What stands out today? And what is the most important thing that happened today? How have you overcome today? And what was your challenge of the day? We march into the other side of midnight, walking in the retrospect, tracking our behavior, not to judge ourselves or feel bad about it, but to find ways to improve our tomorrow. Presented to you by the E Factor, we talk to people who were faced with major challenges and find their struggles and triumphs and lessons that they were blessed with due to the way they rose to the call of the other side, the way they faced situations that they never thought they would have to face. Because what you will find when the unexpected hits you in the face is that there are resources deep within you that begin to bubble to the surface and make themselves available to you and invite you to help yourself in situations that you never saw before. This is Tippy Feldenstein today talking to David Riss about a very exciting subject to me and something that's very close to my heart. And I think everybody really, at one point or another in life, really asks that question. What happens after we die? What happens after we're gone? And I was a little bit reluctant to use the word after we die. It turns out that it's questionable that we really do die. If the body isn't there, we are not our body, so is it really death, and what really happened? And so I'd like to really welcome and thank you, David Riss, for joining us today to talk about William LaPar's teachings that speak about that, and maybe we can get some kind of enlightened view into the fact of really the most profound question of all is life and death. So thank you, David.
I'm pleasure to be here.
I'm really happy to talk about this, and I'm really happy to welcome you too. I know that you're still in mourning, and I really do appreciate you taking the time to join us. And so the big question of what happens after we die, really for me, is so important because I had to deal with death at a very, very young age. I was only 8 years old, not even 8 years old. I was barely 8 years old when my father died. And it wasn't just that my father died, but as it happened to be, he was the center of the universe to me. He was everything to me because my mother had another few babies after me, actually four. And he would be the one that would be there for me all the time. So I was so shaken that really thrown out of life. And so that's when I started searching. So 8 years old was a long time ago, but I'm always searching. See that I have read a million about it. So what does William LaPar say about that?
Well, first of all, his spiritual source, the Consul, has stated very clearly and very definitely that death is nothing more than a transition for the consciousness. They said it's similar to taking off an old coat and putting on a new one, that the consciousness, your character, your personality, continues on uninterrupted. It's just a change for the consciousness. There is no longer a physical body, but the essence of us, our true being, consists of our character and our personality, and that continues on uninterrupted. That's probably the most essential point. Now, when we do crossover, of course, there is a change. Our consciousness is more expanded. They said that, and people who have had near-death experiences have also said this, that when you're in the physical body, your abilities are restricted.
Hello, David.
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, I like what you said before about how the body is kind of like the dress, and it's kind of and when when the body dies, then we can go out and either get a new dress or just shed the dress. And but before we go on, you mentioned William LaPaze, and you mentioned council. And can you clarify what that is so that everybody
is
awake about what we're talking about?
Yes, Mr. LaPaze had the ability early on in life to go into a trance-like state, or it actually was a trance state. Medical doctors, psychologists, psychiatrists studied the trance that he got into, and more importantly, they were concerned with how he got out of the trance state. But it was, for him, it was a very involved process. He would pray and meditate the day that there was going to be a trance, and then he would come into the room where there were people who were prepared to ask questions, and he would lay on the floor, and he would align himself in a north-south alignment, and after a period of about 15 minutes, a hyperventilation would occur. In other words, a very deep breathing, a taking in of a great deal of oxygen. And his spiritual source, the consul, said that he was actually changing the blood chemistry in preparation for them, the spiritual beings who speak through him, for them to utilize his physical body, his voice box, so that they could answer our questions. One of the most important aspects was that they said that Mr. LaPaze's personality was not present during the trance. In other words, the questions and the answers that they gave could not be influenced by Mr. LaPaze's personality. The answers came directly from his spiritual source. His spiritual source also said that they come from a level of spirituality where they no longer have names or professions. They're no longer tied to the physical world as most spiritual beings are. They've advanced beyond that point. And so they say that the answers that they give to the questions we ask can only be based on divine principles and not on their particular past life experiences. And they said that's a critical point when you're dealing with spiritual beings. Are they giving you their impressions in answer to a question, or are they giving you the true light of God when they answer the questions? And the consul says only divine principles can their questions, or their answers be given based on that.
So, yeah, so basically what you're describing, and I've been through a lot of mediums and channelings, and when I did research with my first project that I ever worked was with Shirley MacLaine when she was writing the book Out on the Limb, and we traveled all over the world with everybody that claimed to be channel, and everybody, some were real and some were not. The majority were not legit, but everything that you have described, they have in common, except there's one big difference. And the difference is the preparation. And I think the preparation, it's almost like when you step into a holy room and you're not prepared, then you're taking some of the stuff with you. And if he actually prepared before by praying and clearing his mind or whatever he had to do to prepare his body, I think that makes a huge difference. But a lot of the channeling, like one of the channelers that we would do on a regular basis was with this girl that called herself Rama, and she said she was from another planet. And she said the same thing, but the same thing as far as him not being there and his personality not being involved, and that he has no knowledge of the knowledge that she's giving. And then, but the thing that she did not say was about her opinion, being that it was her opinion. She said it was the universal laws. And she talked a lot about the Bible, but she never really stressed the fact that it wasn't her personal opinion. So I think that's a little bit of a difference there. But But in the end, if she said the exact same thing that the council said, then it obviously has, you know, something that more than one source would be privy to.
Yes, that's true. The council also said the amount of time that it takes to get into a trance state indicates the depth of the trance and therefore the level of spirituality that you can reach. So if someone sits in a chair, jerks their head a little bit, and all of a sudden they're in a trance, that indicates that, yes, they could be in a trance, but more than likely they're tying in with a lower level of spirituality, person who has a name and a profession or has had many lifetimes in the earth plane, and therefore you have to be careful of the information given. You should always be careful. You should always use your own God-given wisdom, whether it's the consul or anyone, and compare it to what you believe. But the trance that Mr. Lepar did, normally it took about 25 to 30 minutes before the consul was ready to speak through him.
Yeah, and that's a long time. That's much, much longer than most of the other ones that go in and do it. Like Esther Hicks, for example, she's in the trance within 2 seconds. So what she was saying was that at first, when she first started, it would take her a longer time, but as she gets more and more experience doing it, it goes faster and faster. Was William Lepar also getting faster in getting into the trance, or it was always the same process?
In his case, a lot depended on the audience. If the audience was in prayer and meditation during the time that he was assuming the trance state, then many times they came through more quickly. But it was still, I think the quickest we ever had that I recall was about 12 minutes. But when it was larger audiences and there was more peripheral disturbances, it took longer because the consul said that they had to adjust to everyone who was present. And when they said that, they were also talking about any living animals or people that were present. They had to adjust their vibrations and calm everything so that when they took possession, it was as the least amount of taxing to Mr. Lepar's body as possible. They did not want to overwhelm his body or utilize his body beyond what was absolutely necessary to get the information across. And some of these trances went 3 and 4 hours in duration.
Okay, so basically I just wanted to establish where this information was coming from.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty clear picture. It came from William Lepar channeling what he called the council, which I guess would have been more than one being or more than one energy.
Always
because
12.
It's plural. It's 12. And, and so what we were talking about today is life and death. And what he said about it, which you already covered, about how the spirit, basically the base of this, the foundation, and the really thing that before you even say anything else, is the knowledge that you are not your body. So if you are not your body, and the question is who are you, but definitely you're in charge of your body.
You are your personality and your character, your soul, which is the essence of you, and it's composed of your personality and your character, your being. It is in control of the physical body at all times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It knows,
so when,
for example, when you are going to pass away. All of that has been planned out to a certain degree.
What do you mean to a certain degree?
Well, you always have free will. You may decide that you're going to die at the age of 72, for example, and because of family circumstances, it would be more inconvenient for the rest of the family if you were to leave at the particular time that you planned. So at higher levels of consciousness, you could agree with the other members that maybe you'll stick around for another year or two, let's say, so that things are more financially sound or that someone is more prepared. So you decide when you're born, I'm going to go through this particular lifetime, these things are going to happen, and I'm going to leave here at the age of 72, let's say. But when you get closer to that point, it doesn't work out quite the same, so you have the free will to adjust that in cooperation with other souls that you're associated with.
So that, according to what you're saying, and that makes a lot of sense, because the free choice is never going to be taken away from us.
Right.
And so it makes me think, because like I had this sense when I was 19 that I was going to die when I was 40. I didn't really very much thought about it or knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But then I almost died when I was 40. And I remember making the my kids still need me. So is it possible that my life was supposed to end at 40 and then I had the choice whether to stay or not?
Absolutely. You are in control of your being. People say, well, what about a car hitting you? What about this? What about that? There is no such thing in this existence as an accident. If you step off the curb and you fall and you break your arm, there was your soul had planned that experience for a reason, for multiple reasons. So the same thing is with our passing, with our leaving this earth. For example, my wife had a serious heart attack 2 years ago, and she was only given by her doctors a 10% chance of survival. But she did. Why? Perhaps
to
give
that,
us
she
a
took that
10%.
Yeah, she took that 10%, basically.
Yes. And she survived. After 19 days, she left the hospital.
Right. And yeah, I mean, when you think about it, and I'm thinking about it in terms of my life, but
Yes. Everybody's
life, it's a possibility that that's exactly what happened. Like with my father, for example, he was in the hospital. He was very, very, very sick, but my mother was pregnant, and he died after my brother was born. My brother was 3 weeks old, and he held him, and then he passed away. But
maybe, and
he held on barely, and the doctors really at that time didn't know whether he was going to make it every day to the next day. But he held on, and he held his baby, and I guess after that, his body gave out, or he chose already to accept that it was time for
him.
So in anybody's life that happens. And so one of the things that happened to me when that first happened is I dreamt about him every single night. I spent every single night flying around with him all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to wake up, and I didn't want to get out of bed, and I didn't want to live my life or anything like that, because I really wanted to go with him, but I didn't really want to die. How would that be explained? How is it that I would dream and fly with him every single night for more than a year? Was it really him, or was it just my own attachment to him?
More than likely, it was really him. You see, people who are extremely sensitive, when someone dies, they can sense that other person. The other person is here. There's no other place for anyone to be than right here, right now. It's just a matter of our ability to tune in to that individual.
Are you talking about tuning into a different dimension or tuning into an individual energy?
Let's say individual energy. Dimension gives people a concept that really isn't true. Because, yes, we have a physical body, but the soul, the spirit, is controlling that physical body. Well, it's the same soul and spirit that your father had. He just no longer utilizes a physical body. So for you to communicate with your father is no feat whatsoever. It just requires a quieting of the mind, and when you're asleep, that's the best opportunity to quiet the mind. So
we've come to the end of this segment.
And this is the first segment of my conversation with David Reese, which will continue tomorrow with a second segment and possibly a third one a day after that. We're talking about life and death. So stay tuned tomorrow for more of this amazing stuff. We have come to the end of Tippy Talk tonight on the E-Factor Show. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and you are listening to Black Talk Radio. E-Factor stands for the energy factor. It is the factor that we adjust in order to take on the daily challenges and mold our life into the energy of our desires. My book, Planning Power, is available on Amazon. All you have to do is go to Amazon.com and type in Planning Power, and my book should pop up either first or second in line. Or you can go to the website and find out more about it, which is lifemodification.net. That's .net, not .com. You can also read the first chapter and see if you wish to read more. And most important, we invite you, the listener, to participate. You can call into the E-Factor Live on Mondays at 8:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 11:30 Eastern Time, and give us your opinion, your question, your idea, or your challenge of the day. We also invite you to follow us. All you have to do is click on that follow button right there on top, and you'll receive updates and notices every time we broadcast. We will be broadcasting randomly throughout the week, but always here live on Monday. Until we meet again, have a magical journey, and let your talent be your potion.